Hello there, thanks for joining us on The Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show. I'm Bruce Millington, he's Steve Palmer, and over the course of the next half hour or so, we will look back on what happened last week in the world of golf and then look ahead to two tournaments this week, one of which is really, really strong in America. Lots of great players there. Let's review last weekend, Steve, and I suppose, really, if your betting strategy involves backing golfers whose surnames begin with B-U-R, which, you know, most of us do, you've had a great week, didn't you? Because Dean Burmester won the Tenerife Open and then Sam Burns won the Valspar Championship. But sadly, I don't follow that system myself, so I didn't back any winners. But I don't think the tips did particularly brilliantly. But what did we learn? Let's not dwell on the negatives. Was there some good lessons we can learn from last week?
Well, it's always character building, isn't it, when things go wrong? I think that's what we can learn from it. We can learn from adversity and come back stronger. I mean, the Antoine Rosner debacle, I mean, we mustn't hide away from it. But we were 13 shots behind after three holes. Yeah, he's one of the late starters. And then he makes a nine at the third hole. And I was getting back from the barbers, you know, it's about funny.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, very nice.
I got back from the barbers just in time to see his sixth shot at that third hole. And that was a duffed chip. I just couldn't understand what exactly was happening. You know, what sort of thing is happening here, as Graham Taylor would say. And yeah, so that was a big test of character. The doorbell rang 5 minutes after that nine. Always frightens the life out of me when the doorbell rings. I had an inkling on who he is. Margaret, our next door neighbour, lovely woman, widow. A lot of time on her hands, makes a lot of cakes, and she always brings cakes round to us, which we're always welcome, but normally the wife's there, can give her like a hero's welcome. But it was all down to me 5 minutes after the Rosner nine, so you can imagine I opened the door and she's big smile, big beaming cake, expecting to be applauded for it, and I just had nothing to offer. So that was, you know, perhaps do not answer the door after Rosner nines. There's another good lesson.
You couldn't have left her waiting. I mean, if she knew you were in there, she'd have heard you going, "What are you doing, Rosner, you idiot?" So she'd have known you were in there. She's standing there. What sort of cake was it? A standard kind of Victoria sponge.
It was a chocolate cake with all the trimmings, lots of little sort of eggs on it as well. I mean, she'd really gone to town on it, and I just could not give her the adulation she deserved. So I felt bad about that. And then obviously Pep Angles became our big hope, didn't he? Pep Angles was second going into the third round. And then on the Saturday afternoon, all keyed up for Pep Angles. Nicola's invited her friend and her partner down. The friend's partner is absolutely minted. Like, showing me pictures of his Porsches. He's got this new electric
Porsches.
Yeah, I think he's got a fleet. Yeah, he's really successful. Oh, and I'm there just praying that Pep Angles can do so. And then he goes double bogey, bogey, bogey. Well, it was a tough gig that. So yeah, I'm entertaining what Pep Angles.
Oh my goodness!
You know, he's getting his angles all wrong, firing his drives off at 180 degrees in the wrong direction. Yeah, I just thought the Tenerife Open became the ultimate test of character for me. And, you know, the world's still turning.
Totally. It's fine, isn't it? You feel fine, don't you?
I feel fine. I mean, yeah. Dean Burmester, your system would have been perfect. Yeah, the fact that they had five par fives and, you know, he merged.
He won off the track, didn't he?
Yeah, 25 under. We've had 2 weeks running. I mean, he was there for you. South Africans seem to be enjoying themselves over there, don't they? Just had a lackluster final round in Gran Canaria, which put me off him. But, Tenerife Open, an absolute disaster. The Valspar Championship jumped aboard Max Homer at halfway. I was convinced Max Homer was going to win that golf tournament. You know, he played so well for the first three rounds, got aboard when he was four shots behind at 14-1 at halfway stage, tipped on Golfwise Extra. And going into the final round, I advised a press up at 5-2 because I thought he is playing such solid golf. And then the 74 just comes from nowhere. Such a strange game, isn't it?
Homer in
those first three rounds. The three wood is just, you know, just robotically finding the fairway. And then on the Sunday, he shoots a 74 to just finish sixth in the end. Just
amazing, wasn't it? Yeah. So, tell us a bit about Sam Burns. He's quite progressive, hasn't he? He's been mentioned in dispatches on this show down in the recent weeks, hasn't he?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, when he first came onto the scene, he was a player to follow in the Racing Post. You know, we really liked him. We still do like him, but I was starting to wonder whether he was a short runner. He was making a series of fast starts, you know, getting well ahead in certain tournaments and then finishing poorly. So, you know, my impatience came in. He's only 24 years old, but I was starting to question his temperament. His interview on Saturday night was so off-putting.
Yeah. Oh, really? Why? What did he say?
Yeah, he just looked so nervous, so agitated, so angry, so you know, not looking forward to the final round. And the interviewer didn't help. He had a really sort of aggressive, you know, narky interview saying,
"Really? You don't normally get that, do you? They normally sugarcoat it all, don't they? And toss a load of full tosses outside leg stump. I mean, you don't normally get a kind of Jeremy Paxman-esque golf interview, do you?
Well, how's this for the last question you got on that post-round interview on Saturday? When was the last time you did win? Yeah, and
That might have inspired him, I suppose, mightn't he? He might have said, right, bollocks to you, I'll show you.
He couldn't believe it. He went, oh, not sure. And then the bloke went, what, in your college days? He went, he went, no, I've won professionally. You know, he's won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2018. So, yeah, he stormed off from that interview, and I thought, blimmin' hell, he's just been completely demoralised. He got no hope. I thought Max Homer was the bet. And, Sam Burns, now he's got the monkey off his back.
So did Sam Burns give it the old defiant when he won? Did he sort of look around to see the interview and almost get over there and give it to him, jab his finger in his chest and say, there you go, the answer to your question is 1 minute ago.
Yeah, I think he certainly would have sent a strongly worded email to that reporter. But you could see it all came out of Burns on the 16th? He held the sort of decisive part of the 16th, I mean. He won by half the track in the end, didn't he?
He certainly did. The two market leaders, Justin Thomas, kind of fleetingly threatened to get into contention, but couldn't quite. And another poor week for Dustin. He's not quite in turmoil, but I mean, it's not going very well for him, is it?
No, Dustin made some progress at the Heritage and it's just all gone away. He drove poorly last week and putted poorly last week. So the two things that have been causing him problems, brief Philip at the Heritage, gone again. It's amazing, isn't it? Not that long ago, we're talking about Dustin Johnson taking over the sport and, just complete domination from Dustin Johnson in the last few months. It's just disappeared. Justin Thomas hit the ball so well last week, putted poorly.
That's a perennial problem with him, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just don't think he can get that putter working well enough to consistently, win as much as the rest of his talent suggests he should.
I think you're right. It's becoming really frustrating for him. But if he puts half decent, then he's going to win by half the trade. You have to consider him strongly this week. But it's whether you're prepared to play at 11-1 or not.
Okay, well, we'll come to that in a moment. Before we do look ahead, though, Steve, I just quickly want to pick up on Weymouth Hairdresser or Barbers, because I was watching the One Show the other week, and they do this thing where they kind of laud unsung heroes during the COVID crisis. And there was a date that they sent Ray Mears to go into this barber because it was all lined up. And the barber, apparently, he paints these little watercolour postcards to people and sends them to people that he thinks on social media could do with a bit of a lift. Like, say someone posts on Twitter that they, their parents died or whatever of COVID. He'll send them a really lovely little picture that he draws. It's really beautiful. And so the One Show decided to kind of laud him for this. And they sent Ray Mears, who's apparently his hero, to go and get his hair cut. And then they had loads of messages from the recipients of the postcards. It was really, really lovely. I must admit, I did weep a bit there. But I just wondered whether that was the barber you go to. It was sort of in like a pedestrianised shopping precinct. Does that ring bells?
I think he would have told me if that was him. Yeah, I don't know he does any artistry. I mean, that sounds like the greatest programme I've ever...
Oh, it was lovely, honestly.
Yeah, I'll try and find it on the catch-up.
What day it was, but it was really beautiful. I'm sure if you Google One Show Weymouth Barber, you'd get there. But it was really,
I'll
really nice.
I'll get him to send me an oil painting.
You'd be a nice ideal recipient.
I could do with a pick-me-up after the last fortnight.
Maybe a nice picture of the pylon and Binkham Bumps or something. Okay, sorry. So I was really hoping that would be your barber, but never mind.
I don't think it is. I think before we go, we must mention Adrian Maronk as well, because Adrian Maronk finished third last week, didn't make a bogey on the front nine. Yeah, we're desperate for Adrian Maronk to become the first Pole to win on the European Tour. Mm. I'm sure you share that desperation.
I do actually. I notice Adrian Maronk popping up quite a lot. But he never quite gets the job done. But he could be a finishing position sell or something if you do the old spread betting, couldn't he? But
well, he's young and he's growing in confidence in contention. This is what it's all about. You if you give up on Adrian Maronk now, you would have given up on Sam Burns before what happened last week. So come on, Adrian.
Okay, right then. Let's look ahead to this week. We'll do the Canary Islands Open in a bit. But first, we'll look at the main event, which takes place in America. The tour moves to beautiful Quail Hollow, a lovely course. I really like Quail Hollow. I love that 18th, that gorgeous stream flowing right down the fairway. I'm sure a lot of golfers have come to grief in that and don't share my love of it. But anyway, It's the Wells Fargo Championship. And just look at this as we spin through the market. You'll see how good a field it is. 11-1, Justin Thomas. 11-1, John Rahm. 14-1, Bryson DeChambeau. 20-1, Rory McIlroy. 20-1, Xander Schauffele. 22-1, Hovland and Simpson. And 25-1, Barr. And Steve, just quickly, by the way, I noticed in the Racing Post birthday section today, it's Rory McIlroy's birthday. It's also AP McCoy's birthday. Probably the two greatest sportsmen from the island of Ireland, both born on the same day. How about that?
That is incredible, isn't it? It's May the 4th be with you and all that business as well, isn't it? You know, Star Wars fans will get excited about that, don't they? Yeah. No, I remember having, you know, name dropping here, but yeah, I had sort of lunch with Rory McIlroy in a round of golf just after, I think it was May the 5th or something, or May the 6th. He just won at Quail Hollow. And yeah, he was in good form that day. Yeah, I know a lot about Rory McIlroy's birthday.
That's a good name actually, drop, that.
I was quite hoping my son was going to be born on May the 4th because he ended up being a few days later, May the 8th.
Oh, wow. So he's just coming up to two now, is he, Tiger?
Yeah, he's two on May the 8th. So I was thinking that would be a good day to launch a sporting career. I didn't realise AP McCoy had the same.
I suppose most two-year-olds would get, I don't know, some sort of Peppa Pig product or, you know, some Lego or something like that. What will you be getting him? A new tailor-made driver head cover or something?
We need something to just release the aggression, you know. I think we're going to get a climbing frame so he can just get his energy out on that a little bit. Now, he's got all the golf equipment he needs. You know, he's developing nicely. But, yeah, he must go the Rory McIlroy path rather than the AP McCoy path. And, you know, we love the sport of kings, but it's a lot more dangerous being a jockey.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, if you compare the sort of injuries Rory McIlroy's had to the injuries AP's had, no comparison, is there? And probably the money as well. I mean, AP's not short, but Rory's... What's Rory's net worth? He's got to be 40 million, hasn't he? Something like that?
I wouldn't like to say it's frightful, isn't it? Yeah, no, it'd be, yeah, that Nike... When he signed for Nike, basically like a billionaire, wasn't he?
Fair play to him. He's a lovely fella. Right then, Wells Fargo Championship. How many selections?
Two.
Two, wow.
Yeah. I still, if it's like a subconscious thing of having less, I don't know. You know, a lot of people have been asking me, why have I not been having many tips? Because yeah, the last few weeks, it's just been very, very, very selective. But I'm not doing it consciously. It's just something that's happening. Okay. Only two.
Two, right then. Okay, let's have your main selection then.
Well, should we have a little chat about the course first?
Yeah, we can do that.
It has been tinkered through the years. So we're at Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte, 7,521 yards, par 71, the longest par 71 on the PGA Tour now. It's hosted since 2003, apart from 2017 when we played the US PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. So they had to chuck the Wells Fargo off to Eagle Point. So it's a long, demanding tree-lined layout. The final three holes are known as the Green Mile. The toughest three holes on the course are the last three. So if you're getting excited on Sunday, you think your man's... Yeah, got the job done. Don't count any chickens until they've hatched,
or any quails even.
Oh, even very good. Very good. Very
not bad. That is it. Not bad. I'm gonna really get into this one this week because last week there's quite a lot going on, snooker and whatever, and I didn't really pay much attention. But I love this course, so I'm gonna really get into this. So I'm gonna be backing both your selections, and the first one is.
The first one is a course debutant. I must explain that I'm backing two course debutants this week, which is very, very unusual for me. I don't normally like debutants, but I think it doesn't matter so much this week for a number of reasons. I just mentioned there's been lots of course tinkering through the years at Quail Hollow. It's not like this is the same course from 2003 onwards. The greens were ripped up prior to 2014.
Local vandals?
No. They changed to from bentgrass to Bermuda, and around that USPGA they tried to toughen it up. And the 2019 edition, which is the last time we've been to Quail Hollow, extremely dry, record high temperatures that week, playing firm and fast. This week, totally different, set to be much softer. So the 2018 Wells Fargo is the last decent course form for me, 3 years ago. It's definitely going to play soft this week. I've got an old school friend who lives in Charlotte. So I always harass him on Wells Fargo week for videos of what's happening. He just videos outside of his house. So I just had an excellent shot yesterday of the rain coming down in stair rods. He then sent me a video of him firing some weaponry. He loves his weaponry of 10 minutes later. And that's not going to help me tip the winner. Yeah, they're banging to their guns in the States, aren't they? Yeah. But anyway, It's a very soft Quail Hollow at the moment. I mean, it doesn't take much to turn things around the way the sun comes out of there. But anyway, without further ado, there's been a fair amount of ado there, isn't there? The number one selection is Victor Hovland. Continues to rise up the world rankings. He's now up to number 11, so he's on the brink of entering the top 10 for the first time. Finished third in the Valspar Championship last week, outscored everybody on the Sunday, final round 65. He's had six top six finishes since winning the Mayakoba Classic in December. I think he's going to fall in love with Quail Hollow. It's a stiff tee to green test. It's a driver's course. Hovland was third for strokes gained tee to green in the Valspar. He gained almost nine shots on the field. He's fourth for strokes gained off the tee on the PGA Tour this season. He's got all the tools to flourish at Quail Hollow, particularly playing soft and long as it is. I think a third PGA Tour title is coming on Sunday for a 23-year-old. You think he'd been around for ages.
He hardly
played a PGA Tour event. He's won two of them. He's only 23.
Wow, so you think Victor could be the victor, but if it's not him, who might it be?
If it's not him, it'd be another podcast regular, Will Zalatoris.
I thought you were going to say him, yeah. When you said debutants, he sprang to mind.
He's a ball striker, another ball striking colossus, perfectly suited to this. He's making his Wells Fargo debut, but I suspect that he's probably got a lot more course experience than Hovland, because Zalatoris went to Wake Forest University, North Carolina. So I would imagine in his college days he had a lot of spins around Quail Hollow. Zalatoris, 1 year older than Hovland, dominated on the Korn Ferry Tour, pretty much contended every time he teed up, finished sixth in the US Open last year, and he's quickly become a PGA Tour contender. Seventh at Torrey Pines when we were on him, 17th in Phoenix, 15th at Riviera, 10th at Bay Hill, 21st at Sawgrass, second in the Masters. I mean, what a performance that was. Absolutely awesome Augusta debut. Four solid rounds and beaten by a shot. It's easy to look back on that tournament and think, Hideki Matsuyama ran away with it. Zalatoris finished a shot behind Matsuyama. The cat's out of the bag because of that. Everyone knows how good Zalatoris is, but we're gambling this week that this course is perfect for him. I think it is.
Slight concern, Steve, that he still hasn't actually won on tour.
Oh, I mean, he'd give him a chance, mate.
It's only a matter of time, isn't it?
Yeah, he's hardly played. Both of these players, Hovland's had more PGA Tour experience, but Zalatoris has only just come onto the PGA Tour. I think it's inevitable. He's won on the Korn Ferry. It's inevitable he's going to win on the PGA Tour. And he's full of beans. He was knackered for the Heritage. He started well. The week after the Masters, started well in the Heritage, faded over the weekend. Completely understandable given what happened at Augusta. Then he's had time off, and he's had a lovely time. He's bought a new house in Texas. He's obviously rolling in it now. He's bought a lovely new house in Texas, and he's got engaged.
Very young to get engaged, 24. I suppose so, right?
They do that over there. They get married much earlier in the States. Sam Burns has been married for a couple of years. He's 24-year-old. So he's full of beans. Yeah, lovely pictures on his Instagram of him and his lovely bride-to-be. Everything's going well in the world of Will Zalatoris. I think a breakthrough victory could put icing on proverbial cakes.
Well, if he wins, he definitely become my second favourite sportsman with the initials WZ.
Willie,
come on.
I hate being tested like
who
this.
Who do I support?
Early on a Tuesday morning. Oh, of course. Wilfried Zaha. We bought you a lovely signed Wilfried Zaha shirt, didn't we, when you...
When I left. Yeah. He might be Wilfried Zalatoris, but he's Will Zalatoris and Victor Hovland. If you were going to add a third name to the plan, who would it have been?
Well, it would be Justin Thomas. It would be Justin Thomas at 11-1. Yeah, I only had four names on the shortlist. Justin Thomas is 11-1 favourite. I think it's a fair price. He hit the ball so well last week. He won the 2017 US PGA at this course. If he hits the ball like he did last week and putts a bit better, I struggle to see a Thomas out of contention. It's just whether you've got the funds to play at 11-1.
Well, 11-1 is a nice price. I mean, I know it's short in golf terms, but if someone gave you a horse at 11-1 and it won, you'd think they're a genius, wouldn't you?
That's the game we're in, isn't it? I think Justin Thomas, the only other one I was toying with was Ricky Fowler, funnily enough, who showed
signs. No way, really?
He showed signs of life in Texas, but I mean, that was a month ago now. I just couldn't quite get over the line with Ricky Fowler.
About 75-1, I can see
75
here.
75-1, yeah. I'm not quite sure I can trust him, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him have one or two good rounds, but maybe not 72 hole.
What about big Johnny Rahm?
Still adjusting to fatherhood. Wells Fargo debut I know I've not bothered with Hovland, but Hovland and Zalatoris, but I'm not sure Rambo's in top gear yet.
And what about Brighton? Is this the sort of course that he could dismantle?
Finished fourth there before. His confidence took a bit of a hit. I know he's the most cockiest, cocksure man in the world, isn't he? But I think the Masters was a bit humbling for him. You know, he was sort of hacking it
around. Do you think so? I'm not sure he understands what what's humility. Yeah, I don't think he's got that in his locker. Rory's played well here in the past, hasn't he? Can he or is his game just in too bad a state to be able to put any faith in him, do you think?
That's understatement of the year. I mean, you know, he turns up at Quail Hollow expecting to play well. You know, this will be a huge, perfect measure of where Rory McIlroy is now, because if he flops at Quail Hollow, then he is deep in the soup, and the new coach, Pete Cowan's got a lot of work to do on him. But I think Rory's going to play all right this week. He always does at Quail Hollow. He's got 61 to his name there and a 62 maiden victory here. Runaway victory 5 years later. I think Rory always plays well at Quail Hollow. It's a driver's course, but I just, and you're getting a price this week, 20-1 available at Rory McIlroy. 20-1 at Quail Hollow, Rory McIlroy. If you said you're going to get that in 2015 when he won there for the second time, you'd think you were cuckoo.
Steve, can you see the bird that's doing all that chirruping right now?
No, I can't. I can't.
There's no way of sort of shooing it away or anything. I mean, I do like the sound of birdsong. It's having a lovely time, isn't it?
No, there's some fantastic birds around these here parts.
What do you get? What's the most exciting bird? We get some woodpeckers up here, red kites, and obviously you don't get those green ringtail parakeets, do you? They're incredible. They're like a tropical bird. A pair of them escaped in London a few years ago, and they've just procreated, and now you just get these gorgeous bright green birds flying around South London.
No, I can't compete with that. No. I've just got meerkats.
Done you there.
I've got meerkats and sparrows and robin redbreasts. That's all I got. But
that's all right.
We have put a little feeding box up on the windowsill outside Grace's room where they can fly in, and she can look at them through a window, and they're just outside a window on her window.
Beautiful.
But unfortunately, that fell down last night. It was a very stormy night last night. Fell off the windowsill and smashed to smithereens.
Oh, no, did it? Mm. Oh, Christ, that's no good. Talking of birds, let's move across to the Canary Islands, shall we?
I forgot. We normally do the European one first. I forgot.
Yeah,
but
let's focus on quality first, because the American tournament's excellent, isn't it? The Canary Islands Open, then. Let's do that. We're back at Adeki Golf Course or something? It's got a really boring name.
You told me it was Golf Costa Adeki Matsuyama last week, didn't you?
Golf Costa Adeki, that's it. So it's the same venue as last week's tournament. It's the third leg of the Canary Islands swing, as I suppose we can call it. And let's get a taste for the kind of field it is. We'll have a look at the market. 2 weeks ago, Garrick Higo won. He's 12-1. Last week, Dean Burmester won. He's 18-1. Justin Harding's 20-1. Arnaus 25. Kanter 25. Samuja 25. Crocker 25. Vadimaki 28. I'm sort of bored reading those names out. I've seen this film twice in the last 2 weeks. Do I really want to watch it again? Only if you can give me a decent winner, Steve.
Well, I can sense that. And I think the European Tour can sense that. They've tried to jazz it up by reducing the yardage from 6,857 yards to 6,816. So that's really excited you. So they've knocked a few yards off, and they've increased the par to 72. This is all according to the European Tour website. You have to take things with a pinch of salt on the European Tour website. Over the years, I've had so many pinches of salt from the European Tour website. It's probably taken about a decade off my life. You know, they get a lot of things wrong. The European Tour websites are unreliable, but it does seem that they're going to change the par from 71 to 72 and then knock a bit of yardage off. Because the eighth hole played as a par four last week, playing a par five this week. So if that's not enough to get you going, I don't know what is.
I'm sorry.
I was being sarcastic.
I know. How many tips? So
potentially six par fives. Six par fives.
We'll give it a go. Come on. How many selections?
Five.
Right then, who is your headline selection?
Headline selection is Laurie Kanter.
Sorry, Steve. One thing I wanted to ask you first. Sorry. We've had, in the last year, since COVID has disrupted schedules, we've had back-to-back tournaments at Celtic Manor, back-to-back tournaments at Carron. Have you been able to glean anything from that relationship between how people perform well in the first and second weeks in those two tournaments and use them as evidence here? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've gleaned a little bit. I mean, Sam Horsfield will play well in both. Justin Harding almost did the Karen double, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then ran out of steam with a final round 74, I believe. So, yeah, there was a lot of expectation of our friend Garrick Higo last week, wasn't there, whether he could do the Canary Islands double. And there'll be plenty of people playing up Dean Burmester winnings this week. You know, it's entirely feasible. They're not going to be able to change the track to any significance. You know, this is the same test as last week. We're just messing around with the par. So, yeah, I think it's entirely feasible that the two winners from the previous 2 weeks. You could say we've got the same tournament 3 weeks running. As you say, Higo and Burmester have to have every chance, and you know, I wouldn't put people off.
But, okay, but you're going for Laurie Canter.
Yes, I prefer Laurie Canter at the price, 25-1. I think he gets off the mark on the European Tour this week. Greatly impressed last season. I think he needed the run last week. We talked about just backing players that played in Gran Canaria. Canter didn't. That was his first tournament since the Qatar Masters in the middle of March. So he's at a disadvantage last week. He had two good rounds, he had two bad rounds. He closed with a 73, but he was 3 under par for his closing 8 holes. So I think he left with a bit of confidence. He's extremely long off the tee. So these extra par fives, meat and drink to him. He was brilliant last year. Second in the Portugal Masters, second in the Italian Open, 5th in the DP World Tour Championship. And he was 4th in the Dubai Desert Classic at the end of January. It's a marvellous opportunity, this, in a place he's lifted silverware before. He was the 2011 Spanish amateur champion.
Oh, wow. So it was just an exercise canter for him last week, was it?
Yes. I couldn't have put it better. Yeah, I think he's going to...
put that in the Racing Post preview.
He's going to gallop, isn't he? He's going to gallop all the way to the line. Yeah, we can get this on the front page on Wednesday, can't we? It's horsey related.
Yeah, absolutely. Now then, yeah, so Laurie Canter's the main selection.
Yeah, and the next best, you'll love this one, is Victor Dubuisson.
Oh, wow. Yeah, one of the forgotten... swashbuckling Frenchman.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the real characters of the European Tour. Yeah, he's mercurial as they come. He prefers to be on a fishing boat than on a golf course. He doesn't actually enjoy the game of golf. He likes fishing. When he actually enters a golf tournament and turns up for it, because he enters a lot of tournaments and then doesn't appear, he has to be considered because he's blessed with immense natural ability. He's a former world number one amateur. Yeah, we're talking about a real prodigy. When he played in the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles, you know, Graham McDowell was one of his playing partners and just predicted world domination for Dubuisson. He was so impressed. He was amazing in that Ryder Cup. And he's still only 31. He turned 31 last month, Dubuisson. Two European Tour titles, signs of life lately that a third's coming. He was 16th and 7th in those two events at Caron that we mentioned. And he was 21st in the Gran Canaria Lopezan Open, carded a second round 62. And then even last week, he missed the cut on the mark in Tenerife. He could take a lot of heart from his second round 68. He was 3rd for greens and regulation in that second round 68. He opened with a double bogey at the par 3 10th, played rock solid golf for the other 17 holes. Yeah, I think Dubuisson is building something. And you must remember, lives in Andorra, which is a little country just north of Spain. So, he's comfortable. He's comfortable in this area.
Andorra is probably about 1,000 miles from Tenerife.
Well, it is. It's just on the Spanish border, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's nestled in the Pyrenees between France and Spain. Then you've to get from there to Tenerife, you've got to go right across from the top to the bottom of Spain. And then another 2 hours.
Similar climate, though. That's what I was getting at.
It's up in the mountains. It's a ski resort.
I thought it'd be quite happy, man.
No, it couldn't be less similar, I promise you. I'm just trying to find him, Steve. Where the dickens is he in the betting?
Are you text messaging on your phone during
No, of course I'm not. I'm focusing. I'm trying to find where he is in the betting. And I've gone miles 20, down. And I, oh, no, sorry, 30-1.
30-1, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Victor Dubuisson.
Okay, great. Who's next?
And next, I thought you were just doing the text that you mentioned.
Of course not. That would be so rude, wouldn't it?
Well, we do have a sort of shambolic air to proceedings here, don't we?
I don't think so.
I thought you'd gone the extra mile.
Try and be as professional as possible.
I'll go and make a cup of tea while you do
your text. No, don't do that. Come on. Okay. Who's third?
The third selection is Guido Migliosi. Big hitting Italian, equipped to murder these par fives. It could be 5, it could be 6. The European Tour appointed decide about an hour before play. He made an eagle and 22 birdies last week. suffered three card-busting holes, finished 33rd, but he's been generally very impressive over the last couple of months. He was second in the Qatar Masters, 12th in the Kenya Open, 15th in Gran Canaria, I think a third European Tour title, entirely feasible on Sunday. And then two more at much bigger prices. Sebastian Garcia Rodriguez, fantastic name, 32.
Never heard of him.
Not to be confused with Sebastian Camargo Brown. Sebastian Garcia Rodriguez, 32-year-old Spaniard. Fantastic record in his homeland. He won an Alps Tour event in Spain in 2017. Twice finished runner-up on the Alps Tour in Spain. He was runner-up in the 2019 Challenge de España on the Challenge Tour. Raises his game close to home. Runner-up in the 2019 Open to Portugal. Sixth in the Portugal Masters last year. And he was great in Kenya. More recently, great in Kenya. Fourth and 14th in those two events at Caron. Eighth last week in the Tenerife Open. Attacking player. Going to be very calm this week. Calm, final 3 days, no wind. Very attacking player, Garcia Rodriguez, is perfect for him.
Looks just pretty blustery on the Thursday, doesn't it?
Yeah, blustery Thursday and calm for the remainder.
Okay, excellent. He's around about 60-1, Garcia Rodriguez. And then we've got two more.
No, one more.
Oh, sorry, one more, yeah.
The last hurrah at double that price. Well, 175-1 is another double-barrel surname, Robin Skiot-Zykris.
Oh, no way. I wanted to ask you about Robin Skiot-Zykris because, you know, we have these things about funny-named golfers. And whenever I see him on there, I always wonder about him. And you've tipped him. That's brilliant.
Yeah. It's his time's come.
27-year-old. Where's he from?
Frenchman, 27-year-old French left-hander. He's a left-hander. He finished 22nd last week in Tenerife. A second round 73 cost him. He was superb in the other three rounds. He made three eagles last week. So he's fallen in love with Costa Dolphin, Hideki Matsuyama. And he's got a great record in Spain generally. He was second in the 2019 Challenge Tour Grand Final in Mallorca. Your geography is better than mine, but that's the Balearic Islands.
I mean,
would you suggest that Mallorca and Tenerife have a very similar climate and conditions?
More similar than Andorra and Tenerife, that's for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so he was second. That's a good event, that Challenge Tour Grand Final in Mallorca, and he's finished second in that. He's twice gone very far in the Costa del Sol match play on the Challenge Tour. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2017. I think he's good. He's young. He's progressive, and I think a European Tour breakthrough is feasable.
And Robin, Robin Skiot-Zykris. That's brilliant. I'm delighted about that. He's from France, is he? I was trying to work. That's one of the things that intrigued me. I was thinking, if someone said to you, right, you know, you name where he's from, you'd have had to have a few goes before you get French, wouldn't you? I don't know.
Yeah, you would. Now we've got some cracking names in there. Some real. Yeah, very flamboyant staking plan, isn't it?
Oh, I've got, yeah, it is, really. I've got a question for you, by the way. Someone on Twitter sent one in, and they were very nice. They made a nice comment about another tweet I said, so I'll definitely ask this. He's called Gary. He says, I wonder if you could ask Mr. Palmer today on your sweet spot, which I always listen to. It's great. I like Laurie Cantor and Toby Tree this week. What do you think? Well, obviously, Laurie Cantor is your main selection. So there you go, Gary, answered that. What about Toby Tree? Didn't we meet Toby Tree once?
You've met Toby Tree.
Toby Tree. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was playing Toby in before Glorious Goodwood, they always have a lovely round, a tournament there or a one-off golf day on the Monday. One of the things you had to do, you get to play a shot against a European Tour pro at one of the par threes to see who it is. And it was Toby Tree.
I was
really excited to meet Toby Tree because, you know, with the golf sort of price boxes, you get to know all these people, don't you? Or you become aware of their names, but you never meet them, do you? So to actually meet Toby Tree was a real highlight of the day for me. But could you give Toby Tree any chance here?
Toby Tree's been doing some amazing bursts of scoring. He just doesn't seem to be getting the 72-hole consistency. But yeah, I've been keeping an eye on Toby Tree. I mean, he's an unusual character. He's one of the biggest geezers on the European Tour.
He seemed it.
He turns up for an interview, and normally they're so polished and well-spoken. He's a bit of a lad, and I like his lad. But I think he's got an earring. I think he's one of the players, players. I found that very off-putting, actually. I thought a player with an earring. Yeah, it didn't sit well with me. Yeah, it might imbalance him.
That's ridiculous. That's crazy. But I remember because we were quite late to have our go with him, and he was still very affable. So, you know, I thought, what a good guy. A really nice fellow.
Well,
let's hope Toby Tree gets it done at some point. But yes, Gary, Steve does like Laurie Cantor.
Yeah, okay, mate, anything on the subject of interacting with readers, I must thank Frankie Burton. We had loads of comments last week, didn't we, on the podcast?
We did, yeah.
And yeah, and it must be very tempting when the tips don't go very well. I did last week, that people to leap on and call us all the names under the sun, and social media blackouts can't defend us. But Frankie Burton, I really appreciate it. In my Twitter days, I remember him being a very good egg. He's one of the nice eggs on the Twitter sphere, and I just appreciate his comments last week. He was just saying,
did he give you a little pick me up? He just
sort of urging me to stay calm and patient, because the thing I have, when I have a couple of bad weeks like I've had, you know, it's very easy for me to just start going, oh, blimey, it's all gone wrong. Yeah, I'm never going to tip another winner. And he was making the point that over the long term, you know, I've been doing this for 21 years. You know, results come. You just got to be patient. It will come good again, you know.
I spent 20 years trying to mentor you along those lines and coming down. Frankie Burton, one Facebook, YouTube comment. Oh, yeah, I owe you everything, Frankie. But no, that is very nice. I was just looking at the final score last week, 187 thumbs ups, 2 thumbs downs. Oh, that's okay, yeah. Isn't it? It's a pretty good ratio, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the 2 thumbs down are just...
Don't worry about it, Steve. Don't. If you look like it's getting to you, we'll get more thumbs downs.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just let it wash over you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But thank you very much indeed, as always, for your kind comments at the bottom of the YouTube screen. We do read them, so please do keep them coming. Should we have a solemn renewal or reaffirmation of who you're going for this week, in case anyone's missed it, Steve? Let's start with the... what's it called again?
Wells Fargo.
Yeah, Wells Fargo. Who's going to win Wells Fargo?
Wells Fargo is Victor Hovland and Will Zalatoris, two fantastically solid each-way bets.
And 5 in the Canary Islands Open, Canary Islands Championship, as follows.
Laurie Cantor. Victor Dubuisson. Trying to make it a bit more somber. We used to make it so somber.
Solemn,
that was it. Solemn,
no,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
just
yeah.
Sort of clear, really. No nonsense, I suppose, is the key.
I'll start again. Laurie Cantor. Victor Dubuisson, Guido Migliosi, Sebastian Garcia Rodriguez, Robin Skiot-Zeiklist.
That's it, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Marvellous. Where are we next week, Steve? Well, not where are we. We're here, presumably. But where are the... Where's the tour moved to?
We've got the Betfred British Masters next week.
Oh, lovely. Where's that?
Up north. Sutton Coldfield. No, Midlands.
What, Belfry? If it's in Sutton Coldfield, it must be. It's the only show in town as far as Sutton.
I take each week as it comes. I think Danny Willett hosting it, is it? I can't quite remember. We've got the AT&T Byron Nelson.
Oh, lovely. And then we've got the USPGA coming up at the end of the month, haven't we? So there's plenty of great stuff, isn't there?
There's a lot going on, yeah.
Have you managed to get out and swing a club at any point?
No, I haven't swung a club yet. I'm sure I will at some stage. Yeah, no. So you know me. I'm just trying to be professional. Get the job done. On, you know, not me playing golf. My golf is winning. You know, yeah, we need something good this week, and I think we're going to get it. I know I've only got 2 tips in the Wells Fargo, but you know, I think they're good tips. And I think I must say before we go, because there's a good chance this can happen. You know, you have to respect the favourites. We've mentioned Justin Thomas, but Garrett Higo. Yeah, you know, if you could have the favourites double this week, and you might go close, Higo and Thomas.
Okay.
I prefer my tips at the prices. You know.
Good, excellent. Anything exciting coming up away from work and golf in the next week before we meet again?
My daughter's banging to S Club 7 now. You know S Club 7?
Of course I do.
She started playing all their songs on, and she's trying to. Gear me up. It's not just Frankie Burton. Obviously, I don't listen to you, but Frankie Burton and my daughter, they've been trying to G me up. And there's that song where it goes about never give up, hold your head high and all that.
Don't stop, it's called, I think.
Don't stop moving, whatever.
Stop moving. Hang on. I can't think what it is.
No, I don't think it's Don't Stop Moving.
Don't Stop Moving is their best song. Brilliant.
Is it? Yeah. The one she's been... to singing to me is about keeping your head held.
Don't stop, never give up, keep your eye and reach the top.
That's it.
Give it all back to you. Dream of falling in love.
That's cool. You're a big...
That's the one, isn't it?
Because
Daisy was growing up the same age as Grace when they were first on the scene. So I'm well versed in S Club 7.
Well, Grace sees that when the golf's getting me down, she sees I need a G up, you know. So great. She's doing a good job on that.
Brilliant. Okay, well, listen, keep your pecker up, Steve. The winners will come. And if they don't, it doesn't matter. It's just sport. It's just betting. It's not. It's a nice escape from life. So, yeah, don't get too down about it. Have a great week, Steve. Hope it goes well. Hope the tips play well for you. We're back next week. Thank you very much for joining us on The Sweet Spot. Back next Tuesday.